Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with Dr. Michael Sachs, professor of kinesiology at Temple University and author of the book, The Total Sports Experience for Kids, A Parent's Guide to Success in Youth Sports. I'm also here with my brother, mental game coach Dr. Patrick Cohn. Today we're going to talk about how to define success for parents and young athletes.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Dr. Sachs, and hi, Patrick.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for inviting me today.
Dr. Sachs, can you begin by telling me what kind of research your work is based on?
Well, we've done some work with kids, certainly talking with them about their kinds of experiences in youth sport and trying to get a feeling from them for what their positive experiences are, what some experiences they may have had that are not as positive or negative or so on, and then sort of go from there to make some recommendations for how we might structure youth sports so that it is indeed a positive experience for the kids who participate.
And did you interview kids of all ages?
Yeah, mostly I think about 8 to 12 was the age spectrum, but certainly from our informal conversations with both some younger as well as older kids, although I guess the older ones should be more appropriately called teenagers, would suggest that certainly many of the issues are common across sport levels, and many of the recommendations are pretty common across age groups as well.
Yeah, I think that's true. Now, tell us, what's the best way for parents and kids to define success in youth sports? What have you found?
I think there are two aspects that would be critical for defining success, and that's how I would prefer to see it. Certainly, one would be in terms of enjoyment or having fun. That success is when a child comes away or a teenager comes away from an activity, having said, "Boy, I had a good time. This was great. I enjoyed it. Let's go back and do it again." So that's the first component, and then the second component would be having put forward 100% effort that, I tried my best today, I did all that I could today, and, this was the best I could have done, and, I'm happy with that. Whether I won or lost, obviously if I lost, then, I won't be quite as happy perhaps as if I had won, but, I couldn't do any better today than having, put it all out there, and if I win next time, great. If I lose next time, so be it, but, all I can do is give my best.
Now, do you think the two are linked?
Absolutely, yeah. I think certainly if you go out and do your best, then you're more likely to come away and feeling that you've, hopefully, had a good experience, that you gave yourself a chance to show what you're capable of doing. I mean, presumably you put in a good number of hours practicing and competing to get to this point. Certainly, unfortunately, in our society today, there's a lot of pressure, and many people unfortunately define success as whether you win or lose. And so individuals tend to come away from a sports setting, feeling that they were unsuccessful if they lost, or feeling that they were successful if they won. And, that can certainly color our perception of whether we had a good time or so on. But the fact that whether we win or lose is so dependent on a variety of conditions, certainly our opponent and the quality of his or her or their play if it's a team, and the environment as well, that hanging your hat on winning or losing is, I think, the wrong place to do it.
Right. Well, now, what effect do these issues have on young athletes' confidence?
Well, unfortunately, if you walk away with the idea that you are unsuccessful, then you may be that much less likely to want to continue participating. Just as the research is, pretty clear that if you, play for coaches who have a more positive attitude or more positive coaching perspective, you're more likely to want to come back and continue playing because you're having a good time. The same thing here. If you walk away feeling that you've been successful, that you put out 100%, people are, you know, commending you for having tried your best and, you know, played as well as you can, and, you know, that you had a good time doing that, then you're much more likely to come back and play. If you get criticized for losing or feel that even your best is not good enough because people keep giving you a hard time, then, you know, children and adolescents have a lot of other options in terms of their leisure time choices, and they're not as likely to come back to the sport arena, which would be a loss for all of us.
So in many ways, it's the expectations that we place on them that determines whether or not they feel confident and successful.
Absolutely, absolutely. And unfortunately, you know, children aren't born with this expectation that of having to win or so on. It's the societally imposed expectations which are transmitted through coaches and parents in particular, teammates and media sometimes and so on, that start sort of hanging over our heads or you know, children's heads, and they start getting the message that, hey, you know, it's nice to, you know, do your best and have fun and that kind of thing, but the real important thing is to win, and that's not the message that we want to send.
You think, Dr. Sachs, that comes more from society and changes in society about focusing more on achievement and winning and championships, and then that filters down to the parents and coaches?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, you can cite, you know, examples ad infinitum. I mean, the, you know, the team that reaches the Super Bowl, two teams that reach the Super Bowl are the two best teams out of the 32, and yet the team that loses, you know, is considered a loser and had a, you know, an unsuccessful season and so on. And, you know, yes, they lost the big game, but, you know, they have to do pretty well to get there. So our society tends to evaluate things in much, you know, more sort of black and white terms in those sense that, you know, there's one winner and everybody else is a loser. And that's not the perspective, particularly for children. I mean, if you want to make a case that, you know, professional athletes can be treated that way or adults can be treated that way, I mean, I would still disagree with that, but, you know, you may be able to try to make an argument. But, you know, if we have children that we're trying to encourage to play, they need to be engaged in physical activity, there are a lot of great things that they can learn through participation in sports, and we need to make the sporting environment as positive as we can, as successful as an environment as we can, and not start talking about winning and losing for, you know, four-year-olds in T-ball.
Yeah, you know, and I'm completely in agreement that I think it's coming down from the culture or from the society, but it's kind of like sports can't operate in a vacuum then, and then so you have these societal values that are coming down on the coaches, they're coming down on the kids, the parents are picking them up. It's very difficult, I think, for parents today to kind of go against that grain and say, you know what, I define success this way, when they're getting bombarded with all these messages from society saying it's all about winning and the champion.
And again, I mean, that may be appropriate at higher levels, and you can understand perhaps, you know, as you get to professional levels, collegiate levels, perhaps how that might, you know, come into play. But, mm-hmm. you know, when you've got children and adolescents, I mean, you're certainly right. I mean, that's the message that parents are getting, but I think if like-minded parents, you know, feel strongly enough, you know, there are enough leagues around that sort of de-emphasize the idea of winning, you know, they don't keep standings and that kind of thing. You know, they have parents go through, you know, appropriate and coaches go through, you know, a variety of training sessions and so on to try to sensitize them to the kind of messages that they're sending. And then, you know, I mean, we should acknowledge, I mean, you know, winning is nice, and there's not that there's anything wrong with that. And if you prepare and if you, you know, do your best, you'll presumably win your share of matches. So, you know, that can be encouraging in itself. But, you know, that should be the, you know, very low on the totem pole in terms of things that we talk about. You know, we should be talking about, you know, did you have a good time there today? How did you feel you played, you know, did you, you know, what kinds of things did you learn today and so on, as opposed to did you win?
Well, we're also of that philosophy that I think if you have fun, that good things can come from that. And it is that enjoyment aspect that you talked about is so critical. Besides defining, success differently for kids, and that success is about how much fun you have, what are some things that maybe parents and coaches can do to facilitate that enjoyment in the sport experience?
Well, I think certainly sort of focusing on the kinds of things that make the activity fun. So, those would be the camaraderie amongst the players, allowing the players to take some degree of ownership in the, at least in the practices. I mean, ideally in the games as well, but in practices, I mean, maybe the kids can choose a few drills that, they think would work out best, or help formulate a game plan, or mentor each other. The better kids would work with some of the kids still learning some of the drills, et cetera. I mean, the coaches certainly have a role there, but, to keep an eye on any kids who seem, not to be quite into it, check what things are going on, make sure you keep an ear out for the parents in the stands, and make sure at the beginning of the season that parents understand that they're there to be supportive, and that, any parents who start getting into, criticisms in the, of the players on the field, will be asked to, either be quiet or leave. We can't control what they do in the car on the way home, although hopefully the message will get there as well. But, there are quite a few things we can do in terms of focusing on the environment in which the kids play, and making things as positive an environment as possible, that will go a long way to being successful.
Now, in your view, do you think competition is healthy for kids?
Great question. I think it depends a little bit how you define competition. I mean, if we're talking about keeping standings and giving MVPs for 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds, I don't think I would be supportive of that. But, at some point you start keeping standings and you have playoffs and that kind of thing. And, when do you do that? 8, 9, 10, something like that. But, certainly holding off on that as long as possible would be great. And the, ideal would be to, try to balance the teams as well as possible if you're playing a team sport. At the beginning of the season, everybody plays everybody else. If you want to have playoffs, everybody makes the playoffs, and you make them double elimination kind of thing. You have rules where everybody has to play at least a certain amount of time, and so on. There are ways to structure it so that there's maximum participation and minimum sitting around, and minimum emphasis on who's got the best record in the league and so on. I mean, the kids know who wins a particular game. I mean, they can sort of keep track of those kinds of things, but it's important for the parents and the coaches not to, emphasize that, or ideally for the younger kids, keep score at all. You just, for the younger kids, everybody gets a chance to bat, and then you switch sides kind of thing in Little League.
Right.
There are certainly ways to structure it that are more positive for all concerned.
I've heard of some high school teams that let anyone on the team, and everybody gets to play. I don't know if you've studied those teams at all.
Certainly, if that's possible. I mean, that's a great idea. I mean, there are some teams, the cross-country teams and so on, where everybody gets to participate. There are some logistical issues in terms of how many kids you can take to away meets and things like that. And so, sometimes one has to make some decisions. But, to the degree possible, if you can avoid, cutting kids and giving everybody a chance to participate, then that's certainly, the ideal. So if that's achievable in a particular school district with a particular coach, then they certainly, applaud that. Or if they can have, junior varsity and freshman teams or additional teams that play, then that's great.
Now, do you think that parents expect perfectionism from their kids, perfection?
Probably. I mean, we as parents, of course, are perfect in the kinds of things that we do, so wouldn't we expect that the kids would be perfect as well, I guess. But that's a problem. We see professional athletes, and we imagine that they're perfect, although, you look at some of the pros, and some of the physical and mental mistakes they make are sort of astonishing. So I'm not sure why we would expect, particularly for young kids, that they would be perfect. But there's this idea that just because the kid's been practicing, 2 afternoons a week, they're going to be, they'll go 4 for 4 on the baseball field and be perfect, as a fielder and so on. And that's just sort of a, an ideal that we have within society, this quest for perfection. Unfortunately, we drag it down to the kids and don't realize that that's entirely inappropriate standard to be setting for them.
Did you find that the kids were saying that these expectations were not only in sports, but it was sports and school and everything they did, or was it particularly sports?
We really focused more on the sports environment. I mean, I'm sure there are some kids who get a lot of pressure to perform academically as well, and perhaps in other arenas, but we really didn't explore that within the other context. But I'm sure you would find that, across the board as well, that there are, some parents who are expecting, all A's and making the All-Star team and being the first flautist in the band and that kind of thing from, their star child who will be a Nobel Prize winner and all that good stuff. And, you may be the lucky one whose child will be that person, but, most of our, children just like us have our strengths and weaknesses, and we should try to understand what those are and work within those parameters.
What do you think happens to these kids whose parents are so achievement-oriented? What's the impact on the kids?
Unfortunately, I think most of them get burned out. They just stop having fun. It stops being an enjoyable experience, and they shift their attention and energies to other activities where they're either not getting that kind of parental scrutiny or where they see they can be more successful. If you're one of the lucky ones who does excel at a particular sport or musical instrument or in theater, whatever it might be, then you're getting the positive feedback from coaches and parents and teachers and so on. But if that's not happening, folks, children, adolescents as well as adults tend to pull back from an activity where they're not having fun. Now, many of us participate in activities where we're not that quote unquote good. I mean, we may go out and play tennis with our friends and we're no danger to Roger Federer or Maria Sharapova and so on, but we still go out there because it's good exercise and we have fun and so on, but kids may not quite have that same sense of perspective, so we have to try to make sure that the environment is positive for them as opposed to sort of giving them a good reason to drop out. Now, they may still enjoy the sport but think they'll enjoy something else more, and that's fine. I mean, we don't want to stop them from experimenting, et cetera, but we certainly don't want to create an environment which pushes them in that direction.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Sachs, for joining us. You've been tremendously helpful.
And certainly if anybody has any questions or so on, I'd be glad to follow up with either you or them. They could email me. But, if folks, I'm an MSACS, MSACHS at temple.edu. If folks have any questions or any recommendations or so on, be glad to communicate with people from the United States, the UK, or around the world, I guess.
All right. That sounds great.
Great. Thank you,
Michael.
Thanks
for joining us.
Well, thank you very much again for asking. So look forward to talking with you again.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Take care, Lisa Patrick. Thanks very much.
Bye now.
Bye.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportspsychology.com.